Hello and welcome to Hit the Target podcast, powered by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Deshawn, and with me in studio today is England football analyst, Nigel Naicker.
Great to be here, Desh. Let's dive into it.
Nigel, just before we head into this weekend's fixtures, England have appointed Thomas Tuchel to oversee their World Cup qualification.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a surprising one for us. It's the third foreign coach that England have opted for. But look, Tommy Tuchel is a top coach. And we've been crying out for this England team to have a tactician at the helm. And in Tuchel, I think they found it.
Do you think he'll actually guide them to World Cup glory?
I think if you marry the two, which is Tuchel being a tactician and the stacked squad he has in terms of resources and just pure personnel that are world-class players, I think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. Well, of course, he's going to have the opportunity to work with his former striker, Harry Kane, who surely is going to bring the trophy home.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the team will thrive with him. Kane is a player you build your squad around, and I think if he gets it right, England are destined for greatness.
All right. Well, let's look at one of the teams he's coached in the Premier League, because the England FA did say that they wanted somebody with Premier League experience as well as leading European competitions. And, you know, Tuchel being a Champions League winner and look at his time with Chelsea, you know, quite a magnificent time for him.
No doubt, I think he's been an excellent coach at Chelsea, winning the Champions League with them. I think he guided them to 4 out of 5 cup finals as well in his tenure there. So that just goes without showing that he is a proper man manager. He can manage the best of the best players and get deep into cup competition, something that England definitely need to do.
All right. Well, in keeping with the Blues, they're up against a firing Liverpool team at Anfield. Now, Chelsea have defied the odds this season, taken me by surprise, as well as my colleague Gif Sony, as you know, he comes praising Chelsea every Monday morning, how many goals they've scored, with Cole Palmer a permanent fixture on the score sheet.
Yeah, I think it's a reprieve for your friend Sony and the Chelsea fans. Chelsea have been subpar for the past 2 seasons. And then to see what Enzo Maresca has done in his short spell already, turning them into one of the entertainers of the league. Like you mentioned, a lot of goals in that squad. They can put you to the sword quick and easy.
Yeah, you know, speaking of Maresca, he's been rewarded the Premier League Manager of the Month for September after guiding Chelsea to an impressive run of results.
Yeah, I think it's even more impressive when you take into consideration that he's just had one preseason with the team. Look, he's got a riches of the squad to choose from, but to get them playing is a whole entire different story. And we've seen managers struggle in the past, but it looks like he's found the formula so quickly.
Yeah, you know, speaking of that formula, I need you to unpack it for us and the listeners, because, you know, with the manager, I think he's only been in the job for 2 months. He was appointed very late on and has barely signed anybody new. I think Dewsbury Hall is the only player that he's brought in. And, you know, he didn't have the best of starts against Man City, but since then they've been quite sensational.
Yeah, I think they've taken to him ever since. I think the City game was a tough game for them. I think City dust most teams in the league. But in terms of what Maresca's done at Chelsea, it's nothing short of remarkable to get them playing the way that they are. You see that they're not only a goal threat, but they are very solid as a team defensively. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, there was a 5-man shortlist that included the likes of Arteta, Emery, Marcus Silva and Arne Slot. Now, you know, looking at Arne Slot's Liverpool outfit, they've been near perfect this season. I mean, they currently sit atop of the log, plum position, first place, just 1 point clear though.
Yeah, another stellar job. I think we sit here singing Enzo Maresca's praises, but Slot has come in at the same time. One preseason, got Liverpool playing extremely good football and top of the table, conceded 2 goals. It's really, really frightening.
You know, when you look at that conceding 2 goals, I mean, it's incredible. Just had 1 defeat to Nottingham Forest this season, but it's been like a near perfect record, honestly.
Yeah, I think to get it to click this well and this quickly is really impressive. It's also Liverpool, a team that they have attackers that can take the game away from you in an instant. They create so many chances. They're so clinical. And yeah, if you look at their defense, only 2 goals conceded. I think that's credit to Virgil and the keeper.
Yeah, well, they've been impressive at Anfield this season, as well as they always are. Of course, though, that defeat to Nottingham Forest came in between impressive results against Brentford and Bournemouth, respectively. You know, there have been a plethora of strikers that have come and gone at Liverpool, but it's good to see the goals being shared among the front line.
Yeah, I think in terms of their attack, I think it's the most scariest in the league. All but maybe you compare Haaland to them. I think they've got goals across the park, goals off the bench. Mo Salah is definitely going to bag 20 plus already. So when you got Jota and Nunes and players like that, Diaz coming to the fold, it really is frightening for opposition.
Yeah. You know, if form is anything to go by, I want to say it's anybody's game.
Yeah, I think two of the better teams in the Premier League so far, starting the season, goals in both teams as well. So I expect some fireworks here at Anfield this weekend.
Yeah. You know, Cody Gakpo has slowly come into his prime at Liverpool. We've seen what he can do for the national team in Netherlands. But I mean, for Liverpool this season, would you say this is his like breakout season? Because he has had minutes in the past under Jurgen Klopp, and I will say he's failed to deliver.
Yeah, I think it looks like he is taking a bit more of the responsibility in these days. He's shouldering that, and it's coming into his performances. I think Cody Gakpo is one of the most rounded players in the Premier League and in this Liverpool team. There's many positions that he can play off the left, he can play off the right, he can, yeah, at a stretch, he can even lead the line for you. But in terms of him as a profile, I feel he's a really good player. And yeah, if he does continue that national team form into the club scene, I think he can really provide a good squad option for this Liverpool team.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking of the squad option, the goals have kind of been flooding at Chelsea. I think they currently scored something like 10 goals across their five league outings in September, or rather since September. They've scored 10 goals, which means that they topped the log, or joined top log with Arsenal for goals scored since September.
Yeah, I think that's pretty impressive. I think the most thing that stood out for me is the way that they attack. They throw players forward, and they've got players that can hurt you. Palmer is one of the most technically skillful players in the league. And then when you add in Nkunku now, who's much match fit now, players like Caicedo, who's looking very solid in the midfield, they look like they have a base to play off from.
Yeah. You know, Chelsea's previous fixture was against Nottingham Forest, where, of course, it finished 1-1. Now, not the best, you know, how do I say, final run out before this game.
Yeah, I think they would have wanted to beat Forest, especially at the Bridge. But coming into it off the back of that, look, it's been a productive month for Maresca and the Blues. He won a Manager of the Month. And yeah, coming into this, they would have wanted a victory. But yeah, it's going to be a tough order at Anfield.
Yeah. Do you think he's found his strongest 11, specifically the front line? You know, we've seen Palmer and Jackson up front. But, you know, Noni Madueka scored the goal in that fixture. And, you know, the opposite flank is being marshalled by Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, look, he's got depth, real proper depth in there. Some really good, skillful players. I think Madueke is one of the next talents that should hit the scene. He's pretty, very young, needs to mature a bit, but the skill, the talent on show is crazy. To bring on players like this, it's a real riches in the squad.
100%. Well, you know, the same can be said for Liverpool. I mean, they've always had a squad that's meant to compete with Manchester City, of course, for the league honours. Last time out, they also scored just a single goal against Crystal Palace, who find themselves in the relegation zone, mind you. Is that the best they could do?
Yeah, I think it was a difficult game for them against Palace, just the one goal, but just getting over the line at Salas Park, which was a voodoo place for them in the past. I know they gave away the league in 2013 there. So, look, get over the line as best as you can. And sitting top of the table, I think they'll take that 1-0, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, of course, in that fixture, Alisson was substituted. What's the status up there in his injury?
Yeah, I read that he might be out till the next international break with a hamstring injury. But look, they do have Kelleher, who they can call upon. In my opinion, was excellent last season when he had to deputize. So in terms of that, look, Alisson is one of the best keepers and any team will miss him. But yeah, if it's just for a short period of time, I'm sure Kelleher can step in like he did last season.
All right, Nigel, with that being said, before I ask you for my prediction, five of the previous six Premier League meetings between these two clubs have ended in a draw. Now, some have had goals and some have been goalless. Which way can you see this ongoing?
Yeah, tough to separate them. The only way I'm going to separate this is home advantage and it being at Anfield. I know Chelsea have come there in the past and held them, and they do looking the better team. But I just feel that Liverpool can just play you off the park in terms of their attackers. Just take the game away from you in an instant. And yeah, I think that's when it's going to be won.
All right. Well, calling a Liverpool win there.
Yeah, I think Liverpool win at home. Maybe Salah to score.
All right, as he so often comes back to haunt his former employers.
100%. Chelsea know that too well.
Okay, let's unpack the rest of the league fixtures this weekend. Now, Tottenham and West Ham kick things off in a London derby. West Ham have picked up just their second win of the league season prior to the international break. I want to say Julian Lopetegui has just kept his job.
Yeah, I think that was a massive one. I think before the international break to get that massive victory took a lot of pressure off his shoulders. 4-1 against Ipswich, and it was a good result against a really well-drilled Ipswich team. So yeah, they come into it with some confidence. Again, against a Spurs team that would be shot in their confidence, leading 2-0 and then losing 3-2 in the end against Brighton last time.
Yeah, it was absolutely horrible. If you're a Spurs fan watching, please close your eyes. But you know, in keeping with West Ham, they've had four different scorers in that game against Ipswich, which, you know, shows a threat that the Londoners carry.
No doubt. I think if you look at their team on paper, it's got some proper stars in there. I mean, Paqueta, Bowen, they've got real big players that can take the game away from you on the counter. They can hit you, they can hit big teams basically. And I wouldn't be surprised if they are set up this way against Spurs Highline to hit them on the counter.
Yeah. Well, one man who has caught the eye at Tottenham Hotspur is Brennan Johnson. I believe he is on some crazy form right now.
Yeah, I think he's 6 goals in his last 6 games. Also gone away on international duty, squad for his country there. Look, Johnston, he's a young kid. Let's not blow it, hype him up too much, but he reminds me a bit of Jota
Trossard. Looking at fearless winger just running at opposition defenses.
Yeah, and getting output. He gets a
delivery
few chances.
But the far post.
100%. Few chances, very efficient. And yeah, I think he's a really, really good player.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there's going to be little to separate these two teams other than it's a must win for both of them.
Yeah, I think London derby, I think Spurs, especially with the disappointment of the previous defeat, I think they have to turn things around at home and put pressure back on Julian Lopetegui's team.
Mm. All right, well, calling a victory there for...
I'm going with the double chance on Spurs. I do feel that West Ham can hurt them, especially on the counter.
Yeah. All right. Well, the next fixture sees Everton traveling to Ipswich to, you know, hopefully come away with the 3 points.
Yeah, look, they're unbeaten in the last 3 games. Victory in there as well. Starting to move a bit up the table, 5 points, considering the start of the season. And a game that they will definitely target and say, guys, we have to beat a newly promoted team at Goodison Park.
This is the winnable fixture, actually. I mean, it's a promoted team. You should be claiming maximum points against them. You mentioned Everton have got 5 points from the last 3 games, but it's the only points that they've picked up this season.
Makes this game even more vitally important, especially when you consider that Ipswich will be one of the teams fighting for their lives or thereabout come the end of the season. If Everton are to pick up this, it might even seem like a 6-pointer.
Okay, let's talk about strikers then, because Everton have really been playing without one for years. But here is Liam Delap showing what he can do in a relegation battle with Ipswich.
Yeah, I think if he continues this form, it's only a matter of time till he gets snapped up. No disrespect to Ipswich, but I think the boy is
really
talented.
This is the nature of the Premier League.
100%. He's really talented. Can take it on the outside, can take it on the inside, right foot, left foot. He's got a finish on him as well. And yeah, just a very, very intelligent player.
Yeah. What's your favorite goal that you've seen from Delap this season?
I think the game where he scored the brace and Ipswich
against Aston Villa,
yeah,
when he was speared off with the wing back, and he shimmied it onto his left foot and smashed it home.
I mean, you know exactly
that's
what
the
I'm
one,
talking
about. Yeah.
The technique and then the finish after that. I mean, to do that against a proper Villa Premier League outfit, look, this boy is special.
Yeah, you know, he's going to have his work cut out, though, because he's going to come up against England's shot stopper. Now, of course, Jordan Pickford has not had a season to remember so far. I believe his first clean sheet came last time out against Newcastle.
Yeah, look, he's not having the best of times, and especially in an Everton team who are known for their solid defensively. I think he also made a bit of an error at an international duty, almost cost them a goal. Look, let's not slate Pickford. He's England's number one. He's one of the best keepers. He just needs to get his form back. He needs that defensive solidity from his team as well to help him out.
All right. Which way can you see this one going?
I think Everton get the win here. Look, Ipswich have impressed me this season, but at Goodison Park, considering you unbeaten in the past three, I think Everton win 2-0.
Okay, let's move along then to Man United versus Brentford. Now, I just said the Tottenham West Ham game was a must win, but surely United need the 3 points over here.
Yeah, I think it's getting to that time right now where the pressure is on Ten Hag. I felt that they were actually really good against Villa, just never got the goal. Yeah, like you said, pressure is on Manchester United. This is the worst start since 1989, 1990. And yeah, you got to turn it around at home, at Old Trafford.
Yeah, you know, they currently occupy 14th position on the log. I mean, it's simply not good enough. If you're looking at the scoring charts, they've only netted 5 goals in their 7 league outings. Now, you know, that puts them like in 19th position. Only Southampton have scored fewer Premier League goals this season.
Yeah, those are shocking stats, Desh, especially when you consider the kind of players that they have in the squad. Look, we can sit here and bash them, but they are on poor form. Rashford, Bruno, we know what they can do. We know the stats that they're capable of. They've got Hoyland back now fit. They need to get him back into the scoring charts. Look, those numbers are not good reading. They need to start finding the back of the net very soon.
Yeah. Are you saying Hoyland is the answer to United's problems?
I'm saying that he has goals in him. He's a proper poacher striker. We've seen it last season. It was his first season in the Premier League. He's had some bad injuries, bad luck with injuries. So can you keep him fit? Can you keep him firing? And yeah, I know that he has goals in him.
Yeah. Well, looking across the pond then, Brentford have had no issue in finding the back of the net this season. They scored 5 goals in their previous fixture against Wolves.
Justice, I think just a really well-coached team. And they're also flying out the blocks. I think they scored 3 goals.
The opening goals.
For the past 3 games. So there's a clear tactical approach to these games, to these kickoffs. They have a physically well-drilled team. And yeah, I think United are going to have their work cut out for them.
All right. With that being said, give me your prediction this one.
I'm going to score draw. I think the Bees get something from this just because of the type of form that they're coming into it. Finding the back of the net a lot. Brandon Bemo has 5 goals a season already. I think that they can go there and compete.
All right. Let's look ahead then to Fulham hosting Aston Villa. Now, Fulham and Villa have outperformed themselves.
Yeah, 2 very good teams in the Premier League this season. Villa especially. To follow on from what they've done last season is really impressive as well. I think credit to Unai Emery and his team. And then, yeah, you look at Marco Silva across their entertaining team. Get you on your feet. They play some really good football, got goals in them. So, yeah, I'm expecting some fireworks in this clash as well.
Yeah. You know, Aston Villa have barely put a foot wrong all season. They've lost just once.
Yeah, I think just once. I think they also beat Arsenal this season, this year, which was Arsenal's only defeat this year. Look, Villa are a really, really good team, and it's coming to the fore now.
Yeah, in recent weeks now, Fulham have seen league defeat just once. It was against Man City, though, and I want to say they gave the champions a run for their money. Now, you know, if it wasn't for that 82nd minute winner by Jeremy Doku, they would have come away with something.
Yeah, no doubt. And actually, City lost that game on XG, if you want to go further. I think Fulham put in a proper performance at the Etihad, and it's something that we've come to be familiar with this Fulham team. They take the game to you, they're very attacking, and they create very good chances.
Yeah, you know, Aston Villa have been booked with Champions League appointments in midweek. Do you think that's going to hamper their form?
Look, it's how can you come back from Europe and perform in the league now? Last season, they've showed that they've done well in the league. Now you've got two hats to juggle. Can you, with the resources, with the squad depth? They've showed it so far. Got a few good results, beat Bayern Munich in the Champions League, and still going well in the Premier League. So, yeah, can you maintain it is the question.
Yeah, they do have a squad that can compete. You know, you look at the likes of Luca Dean just making his way back into the front, starting lineup. John Duran as well pinned down a 5-year deal with the Villains.
Sure. Touching on Dinia, I watched him playing for France. He was really good. So once he comes back, he's going to be a really good addition. And then Duran, I mean, how long till he starts a game for Villa? I think he can't perform any better
from as a substitute.
Honestly, just what a player.
Okay, is there a winner in this one? Because I want to say these two equal each other on paper.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really, really tough game. I'm expecting both teams to score. So if you're looking for a value bet, I'll get on that.
Okay, well, let's look ahead then to Newcastle versus Brighton. Now, both these clubs come in level pegging, 12 points apiece.
Yeah, look, I think Newcastle started the season much better. They haven't got a few results as of late. Brighton have been a good team for me to watch. Also, haven't got the best of results, as you mentioned, 12 points. But in terms of on their day, they are a very good team.
Well, you know, I did mention it was that superior goal difference that separates these two. Brighton have scored 13 goals in the league this season across their 7 league outings. Now, they've been some big margins for them. You know, you look at that that win against Tottenham where they came back from a losing position, 3 goals past Tottenham, a 2-1 against United as well.
Yeah, and especially they're not goal shy, and especially from a very young coach. Herzlinger is the youngest coach in the league, and to get them gelling and playing such an attractive brand of football is really refreshing. We know Brighton play good football, but for him to do it in such a short space of time, yeah, really impressive.
Okay, let's look at the opposition though. Now, Newcastle have been decent of late. You know, it was a goalless draw against Everton in the last fixture, but before that they earned a point against Man City at the Etihad.
Yeah, look, I think that was a proper result for them. But I think Eddie Howe is changing his style. They're playing out from the back a bit more, trying to be more like the elites. So there will be some teething issues with that, with the results. But yeah, 12 points from the opening 7 is not too bad.
Yeah, just a correction on my side. That game was actually at St. James's Park, where this fixture is. So would you say that home form is going to get Newcastle over the line against this Brighton outfit?
Yeah, look, it's always a factor. St. James's is one of the most difficult places to go to. If the player, the fans are on it, they make it really raucous. And yeah, definitely can sway the result in their favour.
Okay, are you calling a win for Newcastle?
Yeah, I think they can get over the line, especially now that they know this Brighton team are very, very goal trigger happy.
All right, well, let's look out for that quick counter by Harvey Barnes. Moving along to Southampton versus Leicester. This is the 6 points of the weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. I think two newly promoted teams. Southampton in more desperation, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Leicester have picked up their first victory of the season against Bournemouth last time out. So they've got a bit of breathing room, but it's the Saints who are in trouble. 1 point from their 7 league outings.
Yeah, I do feel a bit hard done by for them, because in terms of the performance, they could have picked up a few more points up in there. I think they were a few minutes away from getting a draw at the Emirates. The Premier League is tough, and depending on this weekend, we could see one putting daylight between the other.
Yeah, and is that the opposing team in Leicester?
Ah, look, Jamie Vardy. I wouldn't rule them out. Picked up a massive win, like you said, just before the international break, and then they know against newly promoted opposition, getting a major win will be on the cards. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you calling a victory for the Foxes then?
Yeah, I think they have too much for them.
Okay, moving along to Saturday's final fixture, Bournemouth host Arsenal. Surely it's a must-win game for the Gunners to keep the pressure on the top.
Yeah, no doubt. Like you mentioned, keep the pressure on the top. It's an opportunity for Arsenal to go top with both Liverpool and City playing on Sunday. So I think in terms of that, that'll be on their minds. And look, they've started the season really well. Some tricky fixtures to negotiate, but in really fine form.
Okay. Would you say this is going to be one-way traffic?
I wouldn't say so. I know we struggled in the past against Bournemouth. That was last season with Dom Solanke up front there, who was the target man. And Raiola has his teams are always well coached, well drilled. Keep the defensive solidity. So it wouldn't be a very easy game for Arsenal to negotiate. But I think that they should have enough.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Spanishmen or Spaniards. David Raya has been sensational for Arsenal this season. You've seen him pull some saves that you would never think are possible that a goalkeeper of his size and stature could make.
No doubt. I think he's been a early shouts for player of the season. In my opinion, I think we all know what Raya brought to the table, which was his distribution and his cross-claiming. But then now he's adding shot-stopping, which is making him a really well-rounded goalkeeper, in my opinion.
Okay, well, I'm sure he's going to come in clutch for you this season. And let's see what he does. Maybe he's the one that wins you the title at the end of the season.
Yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to putting it out there in the sense that he did win the Golden Glove last season. He has a lot of confidence. He's only 27, getting into his prime. And yeah, only learning and becoming an even better goalkeeper.
Okay. A victory for Arsenal, yeah?
Yeah, I think Arsenal win. I think Arsenal go back top of the league. It's especially to put pressure on the other two.
Okay, looking at Sunday's fixtures then, we've got Wolves hosting Manchester City. Now, Wolves have had an absolutely torrid time this season. They've lost their last four seasons to bring their total league defeats to 6 out of their 7 fixtures. Long last.
Not good reading for Gary O'Neill and his team. They need to turn it around ASAP. I don't see it coming this weekend against a really, really good City team. I feel that they're going to pile on the pressure even more. But yeah, in terms of Wolves, they need to get the performances up there. We know the team that they are. They can hurt big teams and they've got good players as well.
Yeah, let's just play devil's advocate for a second. Yeah, now, if you are the Wolves CEO, the Wolves hierarchy, possibly even the Wolves owner, your team has just been beaten by Brentford with a scoreline of 5-3. I mean, I don't even want to say beaten. It's more of a hammering, like a drubbing, a humiliation. And the international break is on the horizon. Why don't you move to bring in somebody else?
I think, in my opinion, Gary O'Neill has showed enough last season to warrant him staying in the job. I think there were weeks on end where we would sing his praises about how tactically astute he was. Competing against Arsenal, competing against City, Liverpool. So yeah, it's just about a matter of time before he gets these players back into shape. Can he get the dressing room back on board? And yeah, I'm backing him.
Do you think he has until the next international break to sort his Wolves team out? I mean, 7 games in. Yes, it's not a lot of games, but it's also massive points that have left.
100%. And look, the longer it goes on, the tougher task you have of pulling yourself out of it. So it's touch and go now for these owners. How do they CEO Gary O'Neill taking this club forward? Can they get a result that can change things in the camp?
Okay. Is there a clear winner and a clear loser in this fixture?
Yeah, I'm going City, banker. I think with the form that Wolves have been in this season, I think City get over the line, Haaland to score again.
All right. Well, our final fixture of the weekend sees Crystal Palace up against Nottingham Forest. Now, Palace find themselves in the drop zone. I was quite shocked when I saw that they've caught just 3 points from their opening 7 league outings, yet to win a league fixture.
I think that's shocking, especially with the players at Glasner's disposal, especially with what they were doing last season in terms of the performances. He had Mateta in a purple patch scoring every game. Eze was really good. But yeah, I think that they need he's also a prime candidate for the sack if you consider that they're winless in the Premier League in 7 games.
Yeah, well, you know, for a team that is in the bottom of the log, they haven't conceded that much more than other clubs in the bottom half. They've conceded just 10 goals. It's nothing like the 13 that Brentford have conceded, and they're up in 11th.
Yeah, look, the Premier League can be unforgiving at times. So it's about now. Can you get results? Can you look? They are setting up their shop. Can you score at the other end? Can you kill off games? I think they've got a few players who are on a poor run of form, and once they reach the heights of last season, I think they can climb up the table. They've got the quality to do so.
Yeah, you know, I want to say that I've seen flashes of brilliance from this Crystal Palace outfit. It was a 1-1 draw at the Bridge against Chelsea. That was followed up by an impressive goalless draw against Manchester United at Selhurst Park.
Yeah, look, they have the potential to hurt you. They have the potential to take points off you. Like we said, the Premier League is a beast. If you're not on it, teams will take points off you. And I think that they find themselves in this position. Once they get back into the match sharpness and getting points off big teams, I think they'll be back.
Yeah, well, one team that has actually accumulated points is Nottingham Forest. They find themselves in the top half of the log. That's thanks to their 10 points from their opening 7 league games.
I think early shouts as well here for another team that's playing really well. Know their way to go. Exciting players. They don't stop running. I think we talk about Morgan Gibbs-White every week as well. Another really, really good player. And yeah, not an easy place to go to. They won at Anfield as well. So a really, really good team in Forest, no doubt.
Yeah. Is there a clear win in this game? Is it going to be the 3 points for the home side, Nottingham Forest?
Yeah, I think at the Forest ground, I think they will be too strong for them, especially with the scalps that they've picked up so far. And considering that Palace have been so poor this season, I think Forest win.
Yeah, well, a fun fact, outside of Liverpool, Nottingham Forest are the team that has conceded the fewest Premier League goals from the beginning of September till now.
That's really impressive. Credit to the team, credit to their defense. And yeah, they're finding the back of the net on the other end, which is really, really impressive.
All right. I think that concludes our Premier League podcast for this weekend. Nige, it's been a pleasure unpacking all things top flight football related with you. Until we meet again next week. Cheers.
Cheers.